This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to this time of worship together on the third Sunday of Advent. It is a gift to be with you this morning. I would invite you to take a moment to register your attendance. If you're worshiping online, you can do that with the link that's there on the screen. And here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row. There's also a QR code in the bulletin because we are high tech around here. And you can scan that and register digitally that way as well. As we gather on this third Sunday of Advent and move ever closer to the manger, there are a few opportunities coming up this week for us to prepare. First of all, today is the last day for our ministry market that's out in Reed Hall. So if there are folks on your Christmas list that you'd like to give a gift with extra meaning that makes a difference in our world, that is a wonderful place to look for those gifts. On Wednesday night at 6:30, we'll gather for our worship service of the longest night. And this is a time of worship that is especially meaningful for those of us who might be walking through a difficult season right now. It's a quiet service, contemplation and prayer and healing. And we hope that if there's someone you would like to invite to that service, that you'll reach out and let them know about it. The next two Sundays after this one are the 24th of December and the 31st of December. We will have one worship service at 10 a.m. on both of those Sundays. There will be no Sunday school. There will be childcare and also children's church during worship. So we want to make sure that all parents know about that. Christmas Eve, we'll gather at 4 o'clock, well, after the 10 a.m. worship service of the fourth Sunday of Advent, we'll gather at 4 o'clock in the afternoon for our child-led service. This is a wonderfully joyful service, open to all of us and to our community, led by our children. And then at 10:30 p.m., we'll have a traditional service again here in the sanctuary with the choir and a sermon. Both of these services will have communion. And then the offices of the church will be closed on Christmas Day and on the 26th. We're heading into this final approach to the manger in Bethlehem. May this time of worship help all of us prepare to welcome Christ into our hearts with joy.
As a sign of Christ's joy coming to our world, hear these words from the psalmist. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoiced. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses in the Negeb. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves.
Please join me in the call to worship found in your bulletin. O God, on this third Sunday of Advent, we celebrate your joy.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon us.
May our souls be lifted to you, for you have anointed us to preach good news.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon us.
May our mourning turn to dancing through our worship of you. The prophets of Advent continually remind us of this ultimate truth. God is love. Even when we turn our backs on God, God never stops loving us. Even when we choose to live in the darkness, God's light never stops shining. With this assurance of grace, let us make our confession before God and each other. God of disruption and order, move in our lives to bring about the work of your anointing. In our brokenheartedness, bind our souls in your love. In our despair, deliver us with the oil of gladness. Where we have imprisoned ourselves and others, set us free by your power. Help us to be repairers of the breach and a people who bestow beauty for ashes. Bring us into the fullness of your kingdom, where righteousness and praise sprout up before all the nation. And now, O God, we offer to you our individual confessions in silence. Hear this good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the
name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. Now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Carolyn and Matt von Lunen bring their daughter before God and this community of faith for baptism.
Family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift offered to us without price. Carolyn and Matt, I ask you now, on behalf of the whole church, these ancient questions of the faith. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say we do.
We do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say we do.
We do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say we do.
We do.
And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and your example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say we will. My friends in the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life, and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness, that she may grow in service with others. We will pray for her to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray.
Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations.
Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. And what name have you given your daughter?
Anna Frances.
Anna Frances von Lunen. I baptize you in the name of God the Father who created you, Christ the Son who redeems you, and the Holy Spirit who lives within you and will be your comforter and guide all the days of your life. Yeah, there's a smile, I think. All right, Anna Frances, we're going to come and let Mom and Dad and Big Sister place a hand on you as we pray together for you. Anna Frances, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen. Okay, we're going to take a little walk and see your church family. Let them get a closer look at this beautiful gown that was worn by your mommy and your grandmother. Isn't that special? Right here in this place. So this is a church family that already knows you and loves you. And in just a minute, they're going to make a promise to you to do, and she's really listening, just so you know, to do everything they can to teach you how much God loves you, to help you learn about God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and how you can live out that love in the world in your own special way. So let's listen to some of these folks who are going to be Sunday school teachers and choir directors and all sorts of people in your life make this promise to you.
Will the congregation please stand, open your bulletins to the commendation and welcome, and face Anna Frances. Now it is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Anna Frances to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you. And we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination found in your bulletin.
as your Holy Spirit spoke to the prophets of old, speak to us now through your word, that by listening to your voice, we too will make a way for your joy to come into the world. Amen. A lesson from the New Testament, Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 4 and 8 through 11. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort those who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion and give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins, they shall raise up the former devastations, they shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make them an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge that they are a people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to have a special moment with the children. If you're here in the sanctuary and want to come join me up here, please do. And if you're worshiping online, just get a little closer to your screens and we'll have a minute or two together. Come on up. I love all these colors, red and green and blue. This is a colorful time of year, isn't it? Hi there, come on up. Well, speaking of different colors, if you look at our Advent wreath over here, you may know that we light one candle on the first Sunday of Advent, we light two candles on the second Sunday, and today we light three candles. That means we're getting closer and closer to the manger and closer to celebrating Jesus' birth. But the third candle is a different color. It's pink. How many of you like pink? I like pink. Yeah, it's your favorite. Well, pink is a color of joy. And today, we think about joy. Now, joy is a really special word for us. Because, you know, there are things that make us happy, like getting something for Christmas that we had on our Christmas list, or seeing a movie that we want to see. Those kinds of things make us happy. But joy goes way down deep in our hearts. We have joy because we know God sees us and loves us no matter what. So even if we are sad, or even if hard things are happening, we could know God loves me and God is with me, and that can give us joy. So there's a song that some of us know about joy. I'm going to sing it once through, and then I'm going to get everybody to help us, okay? You may know it. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart to stay. Anybody know that one? Okay, some of you do, some of you don't. All right, so we're going to do this, and I'm going to ask everybody in this half of the sanctuary to sing the verse. You got the joy, joy. Everybody on this half, you get to say where when the time comes, okay? So Stacy and Shannon, you get to say where, and I'll sing. Okay, ready? Okay. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart to stay. Yay, that was wonderful. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for the birth of Jesus, that you came to be one of us, just like a little baby, like the baby we just baptized. Nothing will ever take your love away from us, and that gives us joy. Help us to share that joy with everyone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for listening and for singing. Three, 4, and 5-year-olds can go to Children's Church with Pastor Stacy and Pastor Maggie.
Bye.
Then you go right in. You fit right there in the middle. For these past 3 weeks of Advent, including today, we've been spending our time with the book of Isaiah. We've been hearing the voice of the prophet of old, speaking into a specific time in the history of a specific people, the people of Israel. And if you've been around over the past couple of weeks, you know the moment that the people of Israel have been conquered and overrun by the Babylonian army. They are perhaps beginning to return to the land, those who had been exiled, and they are on the cusp of perhaps rebuilding. But they are devastated. They are grieving and mourning and in a lot of pain. And so we've heard the prophet over the past 3 weeks bringing words of hope, words of comfort, the assurance of God's presence, the assurance that joy is theirs in God. And so today we light this joy candle and we hear the words of the prophet saying, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He has anointed me to bring good news to the oppressed, deliverance to the captives, freedom for the prisoners, the binding up of the brokenhearted." And we can imagine how those words brought hope and comfort to the first hearers of that word. Then we can skip ahead a few generations, a few hundred years, flip the page into the New Testament, and hear these same words almost coming from the mouth of Jesus. In the 4th chapter of Luke's Gospel, Jesus, at the very beginning of his public ministry, goes into his hometown synagogue in Nazareth to preach his first sermon to his home church. And he's given the prophet Isaiah the scroll, and he opens it up to these verses. And he does a little combination from chapter 61 and chapter 58. He leaves out the phrase about God's vengeance, interestingly enough. That's another sermon for another day. But he stands up among his people and says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, recovery of sight to the blind, release to the captives, to announce the day of the Lord's favor." And so far, everyone in the room is with him. This is our hometown boy. Isn't this Joseph's son? Aren't you proud of him? And then he starts preaching. And he gives two examples of the work of God. And they don't like it. He talks about a widow whom the prophet Elijah went to, but she was an outsider. She was a Gentile. And the other example he gives is of a man named Naaman, a commander of the Assyrian army, also an outsider. And they don't like it. They get so angry at him that they drag him out of the synagogue and try to throw him over a cliff. But it's at the beginning of his ministry. It's not his time. So he escapes from them and moves on his way. But they don't like the fact that this hometown boy has come to bring good news. And the good news is for them? Is it not for us? And I have to say, I understand their reaction. I understand that feeling. It resonates with me from time to time. Next week, when we hear Mary's song, we talk about how God is lifting up the poor and filling the hungry and sending the rich away empty. And I don't know where I fall in those categories, or maybe I do. I've never been hungry a day in my life. I don't face the kind of oppression that many people face. I've never been poor. I have everything I need and most of what I want. So is the good news that the prophet announces, is the good news that Jesus brings for me too? Where can I find myself in these words of the prophet and in the preaching of Jesus in Nazareth that day? Well, I think a starting point for me, at least, as I read this text again, was to step back and remember the purposes of God that absolutely include me and all of us. It reminds us that God's hope for the world, God's vision for the world, is that there would be no poverty, that there would be no oppression, that there would be no captives and no brokenhearted people. That I can get on board with. This is the world that God wants for us, a world where all of God's people and God's creation flourish together. And I am absolutely included in that vision. So perhaps the calling for me from the prophet and from Jesus himself is to look around and see, how does this world that we're living in not quite live up to who God wants us to be? Where is there injustice? Where is there a gap? This past week, I think it was on Wednesday, I finally got Levi to watch an episode of Finding Your Roots with me. I've been trying for months to get someone to watch this show with me. It's the public television show hosted by Henry Louis Gates, where he'll take a couple of celebrities or athletes or politicians or different kinds of folks, and he'll help them discover their family tree. And so we watched the episode where he's working with Angela Davis, the civil rights activist, the attorney and professor of law. And she was talking about growing up in Alabama in the 40s and 50s and early 60s. And she said there was something planted in her in those days that bore fruit in her later life. She said, we used to drive down the street in Alabama and in Birmingham, and there was this amusement park. And they could look and see all the children playing on the rides and the families together eating cotton candy, and they weren't allowed because of the color of their skin. But she said, my mom would always say as we drove by, children, this is not the way the world is supposed to be, and it's going to get better, and we got to work to make it better. That's part of what we're called to do. To look around us and see the world is not yet as it should be, to notice and name those places of injustice and oppression, and do our best to live into God's vision. That's what the prophet invites us into after he makes his initial pronouncement of his anointing. He then begins to say, they will repair the ruined city. They will rebuild. He's including all of the people, including us, in that work that God is doing, rebuilding, repairing, reconciling. God has always chosen to use God's people to do that work, to seek justice and resist evil in our world, in whatever ways we are equipped and called to do that, as individuals and together as the body of Christ. So the text invites me into this vision of God, this vision of justice, and embrace it as my own, to embrace it as our own. But there's another place in this text where I find myself. The prophet says, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. I'm not sure there's anybody in this room who could say, I've never been brokenhearted. We know what it's like to have our hearts broken for grief, from grief, from loss of a loved one, a broken relationship, a lost sense of purpose, addiction, depression, anxiety, whatever it may be. We know what it's like to have a broken heart. And there's some mystery about having our hearts broken, I believe, that helps us be open to the compassion of God. I don't know about you, but in those seasons in my life when I have struggled the most, I have felt the deepest compassion for other people's struggles. I've been more aware that pain is pain, and that we're all in this together, and that we can't compare one person's pain to another, that we all have one great sorrow and grief that we experience from time to time. And in those moments, we can experience our deep oneness and connectedness and our deep need for God to come to us and mend our broken hearts and mend our broken world. So the prophet reminds us that we're all in this together and that injustice anywhere, as Dr. Martin Luther King says, is injustice everywhere. That somehow my healing is tied up with your healing and everyone else's healing. That your freedom and liberation makes me more free. And so the prophet of old invites us to do this work. And Jesus announces his mission in the world and announces it to his body now in the world. And reminds us we get to be part of the repairing and the restoring and the reconciling work that God is doing. And somehow in the mystery of that connectedness are the seeds of our deepest joy. As we move toward that day where there is no more poverty, and there is no more oppression, where all people are free to flourish and to thrive, and where every single person has heard the good news that they are loved and accepted by God, that will be a day of great joy. Thanks be to God.
As we respond to God's word this morning, I invite you to stand as we say together the Apostles' Creed as printed in your bulletin. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Would you please be seated? As we come to our time of prayer, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers this morning. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team, be prayed for throughout the week. You can either fill out a gray card that's in the pew racks in front of you and place it in the offering plate, or click the Contact Us on our website to let us know what's going on. I want to encourage you to take note of the prayer requests listed in your bulletin and ask that you keep those names and situations in your heart throughout the week, praying for the realization of God's presence for each person involved. Today, we want to lift up and remember Lynn Reich Herndon and her family. She passed away on December 8th in Nashville. Services were held here yesterday in Scales Chapel. We also want to lift up John Howell Sr. and his family as they mourn the death of his son, John Floyd Howell Jr., who passed away on December 9th. Services were held on December 15th. And then we want to remember Matt Phelps and his family as they mourn the death of his grandfather, Lou Noly, who passed away on December 12th in Cincinnati, Ohio. Services will be held there on December 27th. And we also want to remember those around our world who do not live in peace, but live with grief and pain. And so we offer them up to the Lord today. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoice. Lord, we give thanks for your joy today. Indeed, you have done great things for us in our lives. As we light the pink candle today, we are reminded of the ways that you have entered our life and offered us abundance, offered us joy. What could we say that has not already been said about your faithfulness and never-ending grace? Our hearts overflow with gratitude and a desire to make your joy known to the world around us. We ask that you would fill us with a desire to share that which you have given us with a world that is so in need to hear your good news of incarnation and abundant life. In those places where peace does not have a home, in those places where joy is hard to feel. Lord, for many today, that joy is just beyond arm's length. It's a hope and a striving that eludes realization. And for those of us today that reside in this place, we open our hearts and live into the Advent season waiting for the fulfillment of your promises. We offer thanks for your hope that sustains and guides. And it is with that hope that we now offer up to you those difficult places in our lives, those places around the world, as well as those things that bring us joy and life. We open our hands and ask for your help in releasing them to your capable hands. Lord, we thank you for this time carved out in the week where we can both offer ourselves to you and be filled by you. May we be changed people as we leave this place. May the joy that is fueled by your love become evident in our faces and in our lives. And may we act out of that joy in all the ways in which we live. And it is in the spirit of that joy that we boldly pray as one body the words you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you joining us online are invited to give via the options listed on the screen, while those of you here in the service will see offering plates passed down the rows. May we give with joy to the God who has been so generous to us.
East, love is coming. Justice is coming. Peace is coming. Hope is coming. Let us share that good news with all of the world that we might have the deepest joy that will never be taken away. Amen.